Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 4:16, I'm reading from the New King James Version. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Good morning, everybody. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Today we continue our series on the Exodus. As I was studying for this, I thought maybe we should review the last two parts. Now this, the Exodus, as we have seen, is an object lesson of the Christian experience. This is how God is leading us from Egypt to Canaan. And we are studying how we are going to do that. Now the first part, part one we did a while back, was how we are to choose God. We are to forsake everything else and crucify ourselves and choose God's way. And the next part we did was what God does after that, which is then we have to learn to be led by God. We have to learn to be filled by the Spirit of God. And we are to be trained to submit to God always. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, that sounds a lot like grafting, which is not anything new, right? We've read this in the Bible. It's about grafting. How do you graft stuff? Well, first, that branch needs to be removed from the old vine. You have to detach it from the old and attach it to the new vine. And after that, then that attachment, that connection needs to grow stronger. It needs to be very well attached. That's part one and part two. What happens next after that branch has grown very attached to the vine? Well, it's going to start sprouting leaves or fruit or maybe an extension of the branch. But it's going to grow, and today we will continue with Moses. Now he's called to do something. Let's look. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So now it's time for Moses to bear fruit. Before we continue, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we ask you that you fill us with your Spirit now, open our hearts and our minds that we may understand what you would have us to do, that we may know your will, that we may have faith to walk in your ways. We ask in your name, amen. Okay, so now we see there Moses was called out of Egypt. He was taken to the wilderness, to Midian. And there he learned how to remain so connected to God that God could tell him what to do and he would do it. And here we find God telling him something very important to do. Go and take my people out of Egypt. Now he's called to bear fruit. Let's back up a bit from Moses. First, was he the only one? Is he the only one to be called to bear fruit? Or is that something for all of us? Well, let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 8. This is probably pretty familiar to many people. John 15, verse 8, Jesus talks about the vine, talks about what it's supposed to do. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So my Father, Jesus' Father, your Father, will be glorified when we bear much fruit. And he ends with, so you will be my disciples. Okay, show of hands. Who here does not want to be Jesus' disciple? Raise your hands, please. Okay, nobody. That's good. Okay, so we got that straightened out. All of us want to be Jesus' disciples. And Jesus here says, what is it to be a disciple? To glorify God? Bear much fruit. So this is for everybody here. Everybody in this building, we are called to bear much fruit. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll see here a little bit what this bearing fruit is all about. We'll start in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So he talks about the body of Christ. So first thing, in this passage, we are one body in Christ. We are all part of that body. There's nobody here who is excluded. If you want to be excluded from the body of Christ, that means you don't want to be his disciple and really you don't want to be here. Okay. But also on top of that, each one of us being members of Christ's body, we are members of one another. What does that mean exactly? We're members of one another. Well, if we think of it like a body, the body has many members. If you can see, there's legs, arms, fingers, head, etc. They are all part of each other. Now, I've smashed my finger before. Anybody here smash their finger with a hammer, with a door, somebody's foot, whatever? When I did that, my whole body reacted. My legs started moving, you know, my eyes, tears coming out. All sorts of stuff. My whole body was into it. Okay, it wasn't just my finger. They didn't say, oh, that's just a finger, forget about that, it's just a pinky. No. One little part gets hurt, the whole body is involved. Now, all of us are part of that one body. We are all part of each other. We're working with each other. And just like in the body, there are different organs that do different parts. My liver does not pump blood. My lungs do not do the walking, right? Each part has its own job to do. So also, we as the body, parts of the body of Christ, we have different jobs to do. Not all are called to do the same thing. And I read a whole list there, and he gives this whole list and says, not everybody's called to do all these things. But those who are called to do these things, that's your job. If you're called to prophesy, prophesy well. And so we are given different gifts to do different work. But there's something important. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. Something important to keep in mind as we have these different gifts. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So the different gifts come from the same Spirit, and the Spirit gives us whatever he wants to give us so that we can do whatever he wants us to do. So it's up to the Spirit to give us what we need to have, to give us what the body needs to have. And one thing here in Romans 12, verse 6, He says, after telling us that we are given gifts by the Spirit, differing gifts according to the grace that is given to us, he says, let us use them. We're going to spend some more time on let us use them. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to go into the talents here, the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. We'll start with that one. So, who is this talking about? Kingdom of heaven. Anybody that wants to be involved with the kingdom of heaven, this is for you. And he says here, Jesus says here, he called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So who is the master here in this story? Who's this man that has goods to give to his servants? This is God. This is Jesus. And who are his servants? This is us. Okay, let's make this understood right now. This parable that we're going to go into, this is talking about us. This is not somebody else. This is us. Okay, for you. Want to be a servant, this is for you. And to one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Something to watch here. He says, every person is given according to his own ability. We are given what we can handle. We're not given more than we can handle. We're not given less than what we can handle. God gives us talents according to our ability. That's point number one. Now, what do these talents refer to? Well, that stuff that we just talked about in Romans. Especially it talks about spiritual gifts. We don't all get the same gifts. We read that. Each person gets what they're supposed to have, what they have the ability to use. But the promise is each person gets at least one. Nobody is left out of this distribution. But aside from that, or on top of that, it also includes every gift and talent that God has given us. Those things that we have inherited from our parents. Sometimes we have these inherited tendencies and capabilities. It also includes those acquired abilities, the things that we had to learn. This includes natural gifts as well as spiritual gifts. Okay, so if you have the gift of gardening, it includes that. If you have the gift of speaking, it includes that. If you have the gift of cooking, it includes that, thankfully. So every gift is involved in this. Now let's continue. Oh, where did I end? Verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Okay, so we find there in the story, each person went out and did what he did with what he got. And so also each one of us, God gives us talents. And we are allowed to go and do with our talents what our characters are going to do with those talents. We are allowed to reveal our character by what we do. Now let's continue in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So also with us, eventually, the Lord will return. Even if after a long time, as it says, after a long time, he will come back. And at that time, we will settle our accounts with our Lord. Now let's see what's going to happen here. Verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Okay. This one's easy enough, right? He got 5 talents. He went out and did something with his 5 talents and made 5 more, and he was commended. He had a few. He did well with a few. And he was given more. All right? Jesus said, you've done well with little. I'll give you more. And so it is with our talents, our gifts. We are given talents, but as we use them, we are given more. As we use them, then we will get more talents. Now let's see verse 22 and 23. The second servant, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, first of all, he had 2 talents. And how many talents did he make? 2 talents. How many talents did the first servant make? 5. This guy made less than half of the talents as the first servant. Now, you might think that's a problem, right? At first, the first servant number 1 has 5, servant number 2 has 2. He's 3 talents behind. After a long time, servant number 1 has 10 talents, servant number 2 has 4 talents. He's 6 behind. He's falling behind. Right? Well, you would think that if this was the world's way, but it's not the world's way. In fact, the commendation that he got was identical to the first servant. It's exactly the same commendation. The master was just as pleased with him as he was with the first. Why is that? Let's look into that a little bit. Each one of us, we are given different talents, different capabilities, different responsibilities, and therefore, there are different expectations. We are not judged by what another person can do. We are never judged by another person's standard. What are we judged by? We are judged by what we do with our abilities, with our talents. So this second servant, he only had 2. He was judged by what he can do with 2. And he did well with the 2. And so, he got the commendation. You have been faithful with a little bit. I'll give you more. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now let's continue. We have 1 more servant to go. Verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. This one didn't turn out so good. Now, if you think about it, remember, servant number 2 compared to servant number 1, how far was he behind? He was 6 talents behind by the end of it. This one, servant number 3, is only 3 behind servant number 2. But remember, we are not judged by what another person can do. So he didn't need to be worried about that. But he got in trouble. Why did he get in trouble? Because he was judged by his own lack of work. He was judged by the 1 talent that he had, and he didn't do anything with it. He buried it. And instead of a commendation, he got a condemnation. Let's look at verse 28. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So this servant number 3, he had 1, and when the master came back, he said, look, I still have the 1. I haven't lost it. I kept it very safe. I'm giving it back to you. Master was not happy. And so he said, take that talent from him, give it to the first servant who has 10. What makes the Lord happy? What is it? What does it take to make God happy? if you use every talent that you have, which we find from servant number one, servant number two, they were given a certain number of talents, and they use them all, God's happy. Servant number three had one talent. He buried his one talent. God was not happy. Pop quiz. Let's say you have 100 talents, okay? Real top servant here. 100 talents. You use 99 and you bury one. Is God happy or unhappy? What do you guys think? Speak up. Unhappy? That's what I'm hearing. Okay, everybody who says happy, say I. Okay, we got a couple of I's there. Everybody who says unhappy, God is unhappy if you have 100 talents, you bury one, say I. I, okay, there's more there. I'll go with that second bunch. God is unhappy. It doesn't really matter how many talents you used. 99? You used 99, but the problem is you had 100. If you have 100, what God wants is complete consecration. Use everything you have for His work. Then, and only then, He will be happy. Now let's think about that in our own situation. Mentone Church is the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. We are part of the body of Christ, yes. We're not all there is, that's for sure. Now there's something that I learned in engineering, when I was working in research and development. There's this thing called the 80-20 rule. And what we were told was that 80% of the job is finished in 20% of the time. That's at least for engineering. 80% of the job is finished in 20% of the time, and the 20% of the job that's left over will take the rest of your time. And then I heard the version for the church, 80-20 rule. And it says 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. I've heard of the 90-10 version of that rule also. Now, what? We are the body of Christ. If the work is done by a small portion of the body, that means the rest of the body is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. What happens when you don't use a body part? Atrophy. Okay, we've got some people in the health field here. They atrophy. You know, I've seen people who've been in the hospital for a month, 2 months, and they're just really skinny. And their legs, you know, their quadriceps are just gone because they're lying down in bed all the time. And you know what happens to a church member who just sits down all the time? Atrophy. Same problem. And pretty much they disappear too. And you don't see them anymore. And the problem is we don't miss them because they weren't doing anything in the first place. So check that out. Don't come to, theoretically, okay, hypothetically, if you don't come to church for a couple of weeks, see if people complain. If they don't complain, you better think about what you've been up to when you go to church. If you've been part of the body of Christ, or if you're just hanging on there. Okay, you might be just a hangnail or something. Now, we are all part of the body of Christ. Mentone is the body of Christ. Has Mentone been a blessing to you? Amen? Amen. It's been a blessing to me. That's why I'm here. If it wasn't a blessing to me, I would have left a long time ago. But, you know, we can't just sit around and wait to be blessed. I mean, Pastor Kirkpatrick's sermons are great, but I can't just sit there and listen to that. It's like eating and not exercising. Now, this part, I know this very well, eating without exercising. It's bad, trust me. It's a bad thing. Okay, and, you know, there's atrophy on one side when you sit around and do nothing. The other side, when you eat and not expend what you eat, you get all fat. Okay? I'll not give any specific examples of that. Just imagine it. So this is what happens to church members. When we just sit around and receive blessings, blessings are good, yes. But they're only good if you use these blessings and let them pass through you to somebody else. If you are just taking them all in, you're going to die. Let's just put it that way. Now here at Mentone, we don't want to die. We're not in the business of dying. We're in the business of life. And we are increasing our activities. This body has been atrophy. This body has been a paraplegic for some time. We're moving, my friends. Okay, we are getting up. We are picking up our mat. We're walking. There's a lot of stuff going on. And you'll see, you know, I've talked to some people and they told me they visited a few years ago and after church, their thought was, I'm never going to go back to that church. It's dead. That wasn't just one person. Okay, several people have told me that. But then, for whatever reason, by a miracle, they came back. And they said, wow, it's nice now. You guys are alive. You actually sing in the song service. It's cool. This is a good thing. We are improving, okay? Our Sabbath schools are expanding. You know, maybe this wasn't a problem before, but now we have more children, more adults, more people that need to be taken care of. That means we are doing something good. We are actually alive. How do we keep this going? Let's turn to Ephesians. What are we supposed to do about this? Are we supposed to sit there and say, wow, it's alive, it's great, now I can disappear even more? You thought I was going to say that? Think again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It says there, every joint supplies. What every joint supplies, every part of the body is important. And when Paul says, when everybody does their part, then the church, the body of Christ, grows. The body of Christ is edified in love. This is where we need to be, my friends. Sometimes, though, we doubt ourselves. We think, what if I don't have any extraordinary talents? What if, you know, so-and-so is so much better than I am, what can I do? What's the answer? What did we learn from those servants with the talents? It doesn't matter what somebody else can do. God will not judge you based on what somebody else is supposed to do. God will judge you by what He has equipped you to do. So use it. It doesn't matter if you don't have any special talents. Those ordinary talents that you have, that's what you're supposed to use if that's what God gave you. And if other people are more talented, so what? You're not other people, you're you. You use what you have. And you know what God said? If you use what you have, if you are faithful in the little that you have, God will give you more. Now let's back up to Moses again. Moses was called out of Egypt to go to the wilderness to be Christian, to become a Christian. And when he became a Christian, he wasn't to stay there in the wilderness. God had a work for him to do. So it is with us. God has a work for us to do. We are not called to be Christians just to sit and keep the pews from flying off. That is not the Christian calling. We are privileged to be co-laborers with God. That is what we have been called to do. And what is God's work? What has God been trying to do all this time? It's to save us from sin, to save us from ourselves, from the Garden of Eden. He's been trying to save us This is what we've been called to do. We are called to save the lost. Now, Moses was called to save the lost. His people were lost in Egypt. And when he saw the magnitude of this work, he was impressed with the largeness of the work and the smallness of his ability. He saw that this is too much for him to do. Now, did that excuse him from doing what he was assigned to do? No. Yes, we are to be humble. Had Moses said, oh yeah, I'll do that, I can handle that, give me a couple days, I'll pack up, I'll go take care of it. If he had said that, that would have proven that he was not ready. One of the proofs that he was ready was that he saw clearly the work required, and he saw clearly how unable he was to do the work himself. Let me read for you a nice description of true humility. Real humility fulfills God's purposes by depending upon His strength. Did you catch that? That's humility. To say that, oh no, somebody's better at it than I am. I can't do that. I'm too weak. That's not humility, that's laziness. Humility is looking at the job and saying, I cannot do that. I will lay hold upon the strength of God, and by His strength I will do that. And that's what Moses eventually came to. You know, Moses, he said that he couldn't speak Egyptian anymore. And I can understand, for 40 years he's hanging out with sheep. Okay, so Egyptian was a little rough there. And so he told God, I can't speak Egyptian anymore. God says, I'll take care of that. And when Moses trusted in God's power, Moses became eloquent. Read his writings. Pretty good stuff. And here's something to remember. Whatever God commands us to do, He will empower us to do. Okay, another kind of old way of saying it is, His biddings are enablings. That might be familiar to some of you. So you don't have to worry about what God has called you to do and that you cannot do it. All you need to focus on is, are you going to let God use you as His instrument? And when you do, when you let God use you as an instrument, doesn't matter how small the instrument, He's pretty good. He can do a wonderful work. And that's where we need to be. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us the privilege of being Your co-laborers, of working with You for the salvation of souls. We ask You that You help us keep humble, to know that this work is more than we can do, but to also realize that Your grace is sufficient. So please continue to teach us to trust in You, that we may be instruments for Your work. We ask in Your name. Amen.